107.1 CJCSFM. Good morning. I'm Jamie Caudill. Great, as always, to check in with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Ritzma. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Jamie. And on the way here, I thought to myself, what would be on your T-shirt?
Oh.
What word? Come on, sing a word. It's on the spot. Come on, I'm putting you on the spot. Here we go.
Stratford.
Oh, whoa. Gee whiz, and I thought that was, can more than one person have that word?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Well, Martin, we've got a busy time. Of course, we're going to be chatting about the big breakfast that's happening tomorrow. But first off, let's talk about, again, an ongoing issue, a very serious issue, lots of discussion on housing and homelessness.
Absolutely, and they go together, without a doubt, and it is an emotional issue. It's in the public's eyes. It's in the staff and council's concern, and lots of input. I get calls regularly. I want to say daily, but not quite daily. But certainly, council did give direction at our last council meeting for the committee that was formed, the Winter Shelter Committee, to reconvene. And that group we have met. I was fortunate enough to be part of that committee. It involves the Social Services Department, Stratford General Hospital, Stratford Police Services Board, Canadian Mental Health Association, United Way, and just recently the Stratford Council of Churches. And so, we know about the great work done at the Connection Center, and a huge shout out to Reverend Ali McDougall. There's a location where individuals that are marginalized, whether they're housed or unhoused, where they can get laundry done, showers, they can get food, most importantly, counseling. So a huge shout out to St. Paul's Church and the Anglican Diocese. You know, from my perspective, and this is just my perspective, when we talk about a location, and we need a location that serves the needs of our population, and people will say, no, that's not true. It is a small population, but anyone that's homeless is an important piece. So we need a location that serves our population and the size of that. So if I look at it, in a perfect world, it would be an extension of those hours at the Connection Center, where individuals are comfortable at going, where the services they need, the amenities are right there. We invested those dollars. I remember being part of that ribbon cutting. So expanding those hours, and certainly with the Anglican Church being involved in this winter a shelter piece that is moving forward. I'm hoping that might be an answer to a Stratford answer to a Stratford problem. It's beyond our borders, but it's certainly so that's what we're working towards. I want people to know, and people will say you don't do anything about housing and homelessness. I believe last year we spent $3.2 million on housing and homelessness, either to prevent homelessness, if people are having challenges meeting rent, what do we do in a proactive way to supporting those men and women that are homeless, and what do we do to accommodate them? So I still believe the best solution, and we could spend a whole show on this, is investing in permanent housing with support. And then we can have those individuals that can make the transition into their own rental units, their own units, moving forward. They have the skill set to do that.
And certainly on that note, an interesting segue into our next item with Home Sweet Home, especially with regards to a St. Mary's.
Yes, thank you for that. And I was pleased to be part of that House Key presentation. And wow, you talk about emotion that I talked about with the homelessness. Here's somebody being handed a key to their home. And so a big shout out to Home Sweet Homes. That's spelled S-U-I-T-E, Home Sweet Homes, for their work in our local area. Their first home that they've built out, and a big shout out to T&N Construction, who is the kind of the key contractor, and they will sublet and subcontract things out. But a huge shout out to T&N Construction, built a 450 square foot garden home, just a beautiful little home that I was in. The homeowner was kind enough to let us go through. You know, Home Sweet Homes has built now one in St. Mary's, and the key, it's in a residential area. It's not marginalized, and maybe we'll get to a point to talk about the next iteration in a solution that they just announced in London, Ontario. So they've built a home in St. Mary's. The next build out will be in Atwood. They would love to build in Stratford. And when I think about Stratford, I think about there's many neighborhoods that have big homes on big lots with big backyards. We know that some of these garden suites have been built, but people frequently ask me, okay, what can I do to be part of the solution? And we know there are many solutions to affordable housing, to housing and homelessness. You know, if you have a large backyard and you're thinking, gee, maybe this would be a location for a garden home. I don't call them tiny homes, because when I talk tiny homes, I have one in my backyard that we've purchased in case we go that route. It's a beautiful little 10 by 10 garden shed, if I could say that, well insulated, ready to go. But these garden homes are a little bit more fulsome, as I said, 450 square feet. But if you have questions or interested, you can certainly reach out to me, or you can go to the Home Sweet Home webpage, and it's all lowercase. Maybe we can get this out, homesweethome.org. And you know, let's join in the conversation.
Okay, perfect. We're in conversation, of course, with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Ritsma, and we have a spotlight on the local, and I think it was from a big event over the weekend.
Absolutely, and Jamie Cottle, you know what? If the Jays need somebody to call the next game, you're in. You did a beautiful job of addressing that event, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, once again, an organization in Stratford doing their part on supporting individuals that sometimes have to make a decision between buying food and paying rent, buying food and making a mortgage payment. And a huge shout out I shared last week where, you know, I went out to the farm, the food local farm, and the work that they've done do out there to provide quality food. But they offer more than food. There's the vegetable market, but also social events, academic courses, income tax services, and as I said, that farm's location just beside Dufferin Arena, and to see the transition or the continued transition of that location, phenomenal. But let's get back to your point here. On the weekend, the food local, their signature event is the 5K walk run. 455 runners, and the entry fees that they provided or sponsorship of individuals that sponsored them as they ran, all that money came in, and I believe the total is $56,000.
Yeah.
And that monies will go all towards every bit of it, because the entire race from medals, which I have right here, Jamie, a little medal for you later on.
Oh, my goodness.
But from medals.
Those medals are gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. Medals to every part of the race is sponsored by local businesses. Like I said, $56,000 that will go towards the food local and all that they do. You know, it is their signature event, and they use those funds to do signature work. So huge shout out to Food Local. We know that housing and homelessness takes many, has many different ways of approaching it, and the Food Local is part of that.
You bet, absolutely. So we have, from that, we segue into trade tariff talks. Before we get to that, your thoughts on the Carney-Trump meeting this week?
You know, I'm impressed by, sometimes it's a challenge to be in front of somebody or beside somebody in that proximity and to hold your tongue and not to say something that might, you know, move that conversation sideways. And I didn't watch a lot of it, but I watched enough to know that he knows that it's going to take some, you know, some negotiation and some kind of holding of your tongue in order to move it forward. I know beyond the meeting yesterday, there was more dialogue about what truly is important to the president. But I think it's a good first step, or next step, I guess I should say. Will we get an answer right away? No, because we don't know what will sometimes come out of the president's mouth. But certainly trade tariffs are top of mind to the federal government, as you mentioned, province-wide. When we look at a province that is most impacted, next to New Brunswick, Ontario is, and our local economy. Certainly, we know that when I was in Washington last week or the week before, I can't remember, but we talked about manufacturing, tool and die. We talked about aerospace. We talked about the auto sector, all things that we do in Stratford. And right now, we are really protected and buffered from those trade tariffs by our CUSMA. And that is the big piece. When I visited the Mexican embassy, Canadian embassy, and the U.S. Trade Commission, it was all about what is going to happen with CUSMA. And, you know, that auto trade agreement that we've talked about previous, going back to 1964, and the last iteration was signed by the now president in 2017-18, I believe. But we are so protected right now by that. And that's where I know our Prime Minister Carney is, you know, that's where he's aiming for. And I'm hopeful that we do get a good result, because we know we are the lowest unemployment rate in Ontario, in this area. But we know with our important economic ties to manufacturing, to those entities I talked about, whether it's aerospace, whether it's tool and die, whether it's auto sector, we know that that 4.5 unemployment rate can jump drastically if we don't get a good agreement. So I'm buoyed by that conversation, to see a little bit of humor between the two politicians. In other negotiations, that might mean nothing. But in this one, certainly is important. And as I shared when I was in Washington, the idea that when we were challenged by what are you doing in Canada to make U.S. great again, or to promote their economy, our message was, let's develop a North American region, which we are part of, especially in the auto sector, that can compete with China, that can compete with the South Pacific and the European Union. And I think that's where Prime Minister Carney is going.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that. Are we ready to move on? Can we chat about Stratford Police Service?
Yes, you know, and I know I get emotional about the trade tariffs, because it will impact. When we talk about housing and homelessness, people paying rent, etc., it will cover many aspects of our community. So yes, let's segue to the Stratford Police Services. Once again, I want to say how proud I am of the services provided by our Stratford Police. We know that they are challenged in a different fashion today than they were 20 years ago, with mental health, addiction, homelessness, all those pieces. But we also know that the Stratford Police Services is more than the cruisers, men and women that are in the cruisers that respond to emergencies. We know that behind the scenes, there's the civilian aspect to the police services that are, you know, at police headquarters. And so yesterday, I believe it was, I did a welcome to the Police Association of Ontario, who is being hosted here in Stratford for the civilian conference. It's an annual conference that's hosted across Ontario that brings both OPP and the municipal police services together. And we are they're being hosted yesterday and today at the Arden Park. I want to take that and segue into, we know we've talked in the past about the province providing $77 million to the last year's tax levy to municipalities served by the OPP. municipalities that are served by municipal police services, we have reached out to AMO and to the province saying, okay, you did that for those municipalities served by OPP. Perhaps it's our turn to get some money to support and offset the costs of the great work that our municipal police services provided. So that letter has gone out, and we're hoping for some positive response to give us some relief on our tax levy. But the other piece that I want to talk about this morning is we've heard a lot about speed cameras. And I think one of my most frequent calls is about traffic speed in our city. And I always say that if people, and I intentionally do this, when I drive home at nights, I set my cruise control to 40 kilometers. And it is hard to drive at speed limit in town. But I'll say that I'm concerned about the premier saying no to speed cameras, photo radar. A lot of municipalities have either signed a contract or in the midst of a contract of photo radar. We haven't done that yet. Council did give direction to city staff to move forward with the contract to do photo radar. We haven't signed that yet. I think it's, we talked about all the work that police do that takes them away from being on the roads to do the speeding traffic, the ticketing for that. So I'm hoping we can get past that and move on to that contract of providing photo radar.
Okay, and a shout out for Stratford Police Service and OPP, who recently had their big Cops for Cancer event. That was a huge success, so that is super awesome. Now, from that, let's segue into scam awareness. This is where Stratford Police Service and many organizations help out with this.
Without a doubt. And I just a reminder that scammers don't take a break. There's not an off season. As you mentioned, Stratford Police just reported on a furnace maintenance scam. A person was charged in that. They take advantage of the season and of the vulnerability of people. It's interesting. I was in the bank yesterday getting out some cash for our event tomorrow. And the teller said to me, "Do you know where you're going to spend this money?" And I thought, wow. I said, yes, I do. It's going to go towards some of the costs for tomorrow's mayor's breakfast. And I said, why do you ask? And that's because people come in and they'll ask for cash, $1,000, $2,000, and they'll ask it for an envelope or two separate envelopes. And there'll be somebody waiting outside the door, a scammer, to say, thank you very much. And we'll take care of whatever the item is that you're buying from them, the service. So thank you to the branch that did that, to the person across the way, the teller is saying, hey, where are you spending that money? But so if you are approached, whether it's, and I remind this to residents regular, whether it's a phone call, whether it's an email, a text message, or somebody coming to your door, as in the furnace maintenance, and if it's too good to be true, you don't have to decide on the spot. Just take a pause. And with that pause, call the Stratford Police. But I also want to recognize Crime Stoppers. They're still doing an amazing job, and they've been in this world forever. In Huron, Perth, right now, Crime Stoppers, the lead is our Stratford Police. And I'll say, year to date in 2025, they've had successful responses to 57 of those tips, where they use those tips and address an issue where somebody's been scammed or concerned about being scammed or illegal activity. So utilize either Stratford Police Services or Crime Stoppers, and perhaps we can put the number and or the email or the website. It's 1-800-222-TIPS or, and we can post this, p3tips.com, to get information on Crime Stoppers.
Okay, thanks for that. And a great shout out for our area bank tellers for something like that. And a